When you have money, you start investing in your future. When you start investing in your future, you start worrying you'll make mistakes.
Oops.
When you start worrying you'll make mistakes, you can't sleep at night and watch infomercials.
Pick up cat hairs from clothes.
When you watch infomercials, you think you can get rich by placing tiny classified ads in newspapers. When you place tiny classified ads in newspapers, you subscribe to those papers to make sure your ad is running. When you subscribe to a bunch of newspapers, they pile up at your house, making it look like you're not home. When you look like you're not home, Girl Scouts don't come to your door. When Girl Scouts don't come to your door, you don't get to buy Girl Scout cookies. Don't miss out on Girl Scout cookies. Get rid of get-rich-quick schemes from infomercials and upgrade to Money Talks.
This is Money Talks.
And we're back. See? That, if you work with us, you won't miss your Girl Scout cookies.
That makes me miss the DirecTV commercials, the inspiration for that. You guys remember those? Comcast made them stop advertising because it claimed, I think, that, you know, DirecTV service was a superior offering and it can't be proven.
Oh.
But they had a great marketing campaign going on.
All right, so let's get to some questions here, Nick. You want to lead us off with Bill?
Yes, our good friend Bill Murray writes, somebody told me that I should not hold foreign equities in my IRA because I won't get any tax credits for foreign tax paid. Is this true? So,
very true.
The first
yes,
part's
that,
maybe.
That is true.
The first part of the question is maybe. The second part is true. Right? The first part is, should I?
Should I? Right.
Correct. Okay, yes, I stand corrected.
All right.
Yes, no, you don't get the tax credits. That's correct.
Correct.
But it's a deeper question in our opinion.
Right, absolutely. Well, it's in an IRA account, so, you know, if you're paying the foreign tax credit, it's a deduction from your IRA, so it's not considered a distribution. You're not taxed on it,
right.
But you don't get the credit.
Right. There's a tax withheld.
Correct.
At the foreign corporation. So you're receiving a lesser dividend payment than you would otherwise have
right.
received.
Absolutely.
So it's not like at the end of the year you're having to cut a check or anything, but
right. So, to your point, so basically what happens is, you know, you are taxed in the other country. They typically charge you at the time of the dividend and deduct it from your distribution or your payment. And typically what you can do if it's in a taxable account is take a credit or deduction for that on your tax return so you're not double paying tax on it.
Sure.
But, you know, back to what I was saying.
Let's elaborate. So let's assume they pay you a dollar a quarter. All right. And they withhold 25 cents. You are going in a taxable account. They're going to give you a 1099 for the full dollar.
Right.
Okay. You get the tax credit so that you're really only paying tax on 75 cents.
Right.
You still only got 75 cents.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Okay. Now go ahead.
Exactly. But to inside the IRA, it grows tax-free or tax-deferred. It depends if it's an IRA or traditional or Roth. Okay. So if it's growing tax-deferred, you are, you know, getting that growth tax deferred basically, and you're getting a fee taken out of there, but you're not getting charged for distribution either, because in the future in a traditional IRA you're going to have to take an
IRA
distribution.
Yeah, so in a traditional IRA or 401k, is it not the same? I mean, you'd be paying that tax anyway, so it's really not.
Well, sort of. I mean, it's going to reduce how much you're distributing in the future potentially, because it's a small. And we're usually talking about small amounts here too.
Yeah, and that's worth noting. The average, I think, IRA account is going to pay maybe a few hundred dollars in foreign taxes when this situation occurs. So it's not like.
But correct me if I'm wrong. The math is still the same. It's a wash. They pay me a dollar. They take 25 cents out. They put 75 cents in my IRA.
Yeah.
It's not
right.
taxable.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. In your taxable account, they pay me a dollar. They take 25 cents away.
Yes.
I get a credit for the 25 cents.
Yes.
But now I'm taxed on the 75 cents.
Right.
Okay. See the difference?
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying one way or the other. It is absolutely a correct statement. You will not get the foreign tax credit.
Right.
What I'm saying is, what difference does it make?
Right. Well, and if you think about it too, if this is an investment that even because it's foreign, if you think it's going to grow, why not put it in a tax?
Yeah, I think
account?
That's probably that's another issue too, Nick.
So, yeah. So
you know, are we going to let the tax tail wag the dog?
Exactly. Or, okay. And I think that the added benefit of diversification far outweighs the minimal amount of taxes that you're going to. Pay, quote, pay.
Well, I don't know. Bill Murray's probably got $100 million, man. He might have like, you know, $5 million bucks in ADR.
He listens to us, so I'm sure he's pretty wealthy.
That's what I'm saying.
When
is he going to start paying? That's the
question. And, you know, I looked at just some rough numbers earlier. Let's say you have a $100,000 Roth IRA. In our let's say, moderate allocation. You have a 10% allocation international equities. We use EFA, the iShares MSCI ETF. It yields 2.68%. That means you're receiving roughly $268 of taxable dividend income. If 20% of that's withheld on this amount, it's $53.60. That's nothing. And you're going to let that dictate your investment decision.
Right.
$53.60.
Right.
I think you absolutely look at it from an investment perspective of adding diversification to your portfolio. You know, adding international equities, just because the U.S. market – otherwise, if you're going to hold only U.S. stocks, what happens when the U.S. stock market declines 15%, international markets are up 10% for the year?
Right.
You have no protection against that downside.
Let's not be calling for that.
Oh, I would never.
Let's not be calling for that.
I would never. We're up almost 10% this year.
That's
a knock on wood right there.
That's the beginning of the end. No.
But I think something to consider here is what assets are ideal to add in certain accounts,
right.
Taxable accounts versus retirement accounts. So qualified dividends are taxed capital gains rate, non-qualified dividends tax or ordinary income. Non-qualified dividends are going to include investments like REITs and MLPs. So
probably what's an MLP?
A master limited partnership. So it's basically the structure of the company where the tax is passed on to the actual investor.
And what's the best part about most MLPs?
The K-1?
Oh, yeah.
That's
you love the K-1s?
Times.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, well, you want to file your tax return timely. Yeah. Good luck.
Aren't there some where it's whatever state the pipes goes through or what have you?
Yeah. There's,
and,
yeah,
and there's, it gets, so you get yeah. multiple
They're
state
all different.
Returns.
Absolutely. You got to,
Right.
Other things, municipal bonds, tax-managed funds, index funds, those are things you typically want to own in a taxable account. The benefit of owning municipal bond funds is that you either exempt from, federal taxes, state taxes, both.
Right.
And if you're in a non-taxable account, you don't get that added benefit. I mentioned tax-managed funds and index funds the same because what good does a tax-managed fund do you in an tax-free account?
Right.
Index funds, I say, because they're typically lower turnover than actively managed funds. So you're not likely going to pay the capital gains, tax on the capital gains distribution from high turnover in a portfolio. If you are in a taxable account and you see a mutual fund that has high turnover, short holding periods in their securities,
right.
It's probably something to be watchful of and not hold in a taxable account, especially if they're holding them short term. You're going to get hit with that short-term capital gain.
Right.
And obviously tax rate on that is going to be even higher. Taxable accounts, high-income bond funds as income distributions are taxed at ordinary income. So you probably don't want to have something that's spinning off that kind of a coupon payment or dividend in a taxable account.
And I like to see where withdrawals are coming from too, right? So if you have to take required minimum distributions or if you're let's say you're not 70 and a half but you're retired so you need to make withdrawals from your brokerage account, I do still like to pay dividend paying stocks in there, just the or high income stocks, even
sure.
though it does kick off a dividend with higher income, but they're at qualified rates, as you stated, and it helps with the cash flow for the account as well.
Sure.
So, maybe your income's not going to be that high in those years because you don't have the required minimum distribution yet, so it's really not harmful to have a dividend-paying investment in your brokerage account.
I think the biggest problem, Bill, with any of these things is it's client specific.
It
is your situation specific, and your situation may change year over year based upon current tax law and what your income looks like this year versus last year and next year. And so but here's the deal. What am I going to do? I base my decision this year off what you just said, Shauna. So I buy ExxonMobil paying 3%. And next year it's going to be different. So what am I going to do? Sell it? Deal with the commission, gains?
Right.
No, so at some point, what you got to continue to do is continue to diversify the portfolio. And sometimes you got to put stocks in the IRA that maybe wouldn't necessarily be put there, but you got nowhere else to put them.
Absolutely.
Right.
So. And I think what's interesting in looking at this is, and most people will have no idea of this, it can get very confusing, but the tax treatment of different assets. For example, I was reading about some commodity futures ETFs, gold, for example, taxed at a collectibles rate.
Mm.
I had never heard of that, 28% collectibles rate.
Yeah,
so most people own assets and aren't necessarily aware, and I think it's good to be aware of that, but you can't necessarily let the tax implications drive your investment decision.
Absolutely. And you really do need to look at your own personal situation because your income could change. You know, when you start Social Security, retire, start Social Security, when you start taking required minimum distributions, you could have a big tax bill 1 year because the market was up and there was gains in the account and there could be losses another year. So your income's constantly can be fluctuating from year to year depending on what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's go to one of those voicemail questions real quick. Here we go.
Hey, this is Lonnie from Waleska. I'm interested in buying the Lincoln National Corp stock. My stock club thinks it's a good buy. Looking at it last year, it seems like we missed a little bit of the bump in price, and I'm new to the group, so I don't know. I don't really want to question the analyst right off the bat and seem argumentative. So if you could just give me the lowdown on Lincoln National Corp, that'd be great.
So what do you think there, Nick?
All right, well, first off, every now and then we'll get a question about investment clubs. And the first thing I always say is the point of the investment club is for you to do your research, learn how to research stocks, make your own investment decisions. Now, I'm not saying you should manage your whole portfolio that way, but for the basis of the investment club, I think that's how you should do it. But happy to give my opinion.
Are you chastising our caller?
Not at all. I'm just saying, you know, you join the club to learn.
Call in and we'll make fun. No.
To learn. So Lincoln National Corporation is a financial services company who offers diverse financial solutions, including annuities, life, group life, disability, dental insurance, as well as employer-sponsored retirement plans, savings plans, financial planning advisory services. So pretty comprehensive financial services company. We're positive on CHERS as a whole for several reasons I'll get into, but I do want to say this stock doesn't meet our investment criteria, which doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad investment. Our preference in this space would be MetLife, not as well diversified, but nonetheless, we like insurers because of the low interest rate environment right now. While it's a challenge on profit margins, sales by annuity providers such as Lincoln may benefit if demand grows for income protection. Most assets are insured against outliving your assets. Unlike banks who earn money on the net interest margin, insurance companies receive a significant portion of earnings from yield on their collateral. That, if you think about it this way, if yields on benchmark yields rise, whether it's flat or, you know, steepening of the yield curve,
right.
A life insurer doesn't really care, whereas a bank needs to see that net interest margin expand. You need to see long-term rates
go up quicker than
short-term rates. So we're kind of agnostic in this space in terms of whether interest rates steepen or move up flat. Also, strong performance in life insurance with the unemployment rate at 4.9% and a proposed fiscal expansion on the horizon. We think labor tightness is going to continue to improve. It's probably going to drive the life insurance business for Lincoln. Valuation looks attractive at a price to book of one. That's pretty much what you like to see for an insurer. And it's below its peer average, and the stock has an above average earnings expectation at 8%. So pretty impressive for an insurance company. Profitability is well in excess of its peers. And you say you missed the overall bump in the stock. It was up almost 49% in the last 12 months. But you have to also consider that the financial sector as a whole was up 30% over that same period. So while it did outperform, it's not like it went up 50% while the financial sector stayed flat. So barely at a premium to its own historical average, I don't think it necessarily looks expensive. I don't think that you've, quote, missed the bump. So, you know, if you want to partake in this, again, as I said, it doesn't meet our investment criteria, but it certainly doesn't look like an unattractive investment.
Can use your side play money for that, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So it would work for an investment club.
Sure.
All right, Shauna, what...
We had a question from Judith in Sandy Springs.
Yeah.
My daughter's father bought her 4 savings bonds. She is 14, and her father's name is on the bonds. Can I cash them in for her? Savings bonds are generally non-transferable at all, just because the registration on the bond is a relationship between the owner and the U.S. Treasury. So in this case, only the named owners, which would either be your daughter or the father or grandfather, can redeem the bonds. There are instances where a parent can redeem the child's bond if the child's not old enough to sign and request it, and that's if, you know, they're not old enough and they live in the same house with
right.
you. But in this case, because, you know, she's 14, she probably has to sign for it on her own. So that's another thing, you know, giving
right.
savings bond, you don't want to give 14-year-old money like that to be able to go cash them in. So here's the rub, though. The Treasury does not define what a small child is or
right.
you know, so, you know, it just depends. And also adding to it, the financial institution handling the transaction can just say, no, we're not going to do it.
Right.
So It just Plus really depends.
But if you could get out of them, I would.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it depends on, because if these were issued, you know, 14 years ago, depending on what the rate is, maybe it's better than what you can get.
Could be.
In an investment right now. I mean, this child, if this is for money, you know, college money, you put him in equities or something like that. But
right.
relative to what you can get in fixed income yields right now, who knows? Maybe it is comparable. And the specifics of the bond are going to depend. Are they Series EE or I?
Right.
A good resource for that would be Treasury Direct. You can just Google that, and you'll be able to kind of see the details of your specific bonds. You can
Absolutely.
Enter the
Actually,
QSIP
you can-
on it.
Yeah, you yeah, exactly. And you can actually type in your
QSIP
bond,
number.
Right,
yeah.
the number, and it tells you exactly
yeah.
right, what it's earning and what you can do with
as
it.
As far so. As actually cashing in, I think some banks will cash them for you. Otherwise, you got to mail them in and redeem them that way.
All right, let's take another one here before we get out of this. Which one do you want? You want Kellyanne from Marietta?
Sure.
All right, it says, my ex and I split our investment portfolio during the divorce. That happens quite a bit, by the way. We both contributed, but he did the research and investing. Now I'm in control, and I'm looking at some of these stocks wondering why. Can I get your opinions on Cody Inc.? I still like to stick with and excuse me, what?
Stick with a makeup slash perfume company. But
I'm not sure,
sure
I want to own it. I got it. Okay.
Yeah. Negative earnings surprises for this company, you know, missing analyst expectation has really done a number. They're down almost 40% over the
wow.
last 12 months. Nothing about this, honestly, is attractive to me. As the listener mentioned, they're a fragrance company. Basically, what Cody did is when growth started slowing, they decided we're going to go try and buy growth. They spent about $12 billion buying Procter & Gamble's fragrance, color cosmetics, and hair color business. And a company called Unique that's got a big social media presence. The problem is they were having troubles internally with their company running the company. So why are you going to buy acquire two other companies, try and integrate them when you're already struggling? Valuation doesn't look attractive at all. Peg of 3.65. As I mentioned, they borrowed price earnings to growth. So we target, and it's hard to find in this market of a peg around one. I'd say, you know, you can go above one. It's really more relative to its sector or industry. Nonetheless, it looks expensive here. It does have an attractive dividend that's well covered, but I'd prefer you invest in something like International Flavors and Fragrances. That company meets our criteria. And what's nice about it is you don't have the volatile component of just fragrances. Let's say a recession hits. What's nice about International Flavors and Fragrances is they have a food component. They're split about 50-50. So it's kind of a blend of a consumer discretionary and a consumer staple stock. Attractive yield of about 2%, just under. Not quite as high, but it's well covered at more than 2x. Profitability is far better. Earnings growth is far better. And, you know, a fraction of the debt that Cody has. So if you do want to stay in that space, I think that's a great investment to consider.
So that she should just take her loss and move on?
I would, yeah.
Well, we're assuming got some, she's got a loss.
Hopefully you've got a bunch of gains.
Well, if it went down. Well, that's true. Maybe she owned it years and years ago, and just because it dropped 40%, did you say? Maybe she doesn't have a loss?
Yeah, it's just 40%.
I mean, she might have made $1 million on that thing already.
That's true.
You
know? That's true. Everybody's situation is different.
All right, so go ahead.
If you want to knock out Chase and Paula,
all right,
I can
go ahead, real quick.
That real quick. Chase and Paula, basically, my uncle was under the misconception the higher the stock price, the better the investment. Now they're left with some stocks, and they want an opinion on it. They talk about White Mountains Insurance Group, Allegheny Corp, and Intuitive Surgical. You've got two insurers and kind of a healthcare tech company. Just to give you a quick opinion, White Mountain Insurance, low profitability relative to the industry, falling earnings. We would say a sell on that doesn't meet our criteria. Allegheny meets our criteria, looks pretty attractive on valuation basis. I would hold it. And Intuitive Surgical, I think it's an amazing company. Their product's great, but it looks very expensive, and you have Medtronic coming to market with a threat to them, so some competition. So I would say sell that as well.
All right, look, market up or down?
I think market's going to be up. Inflation data is going to be good. We're going to get a rate hike. It's priced in. Consumer sentiment and retail sales are going to be positive. Market's going higher.
Well, always a slice of heaven. Thank you for joining Nick and Shauna. We will see you next week.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.